Welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In today's episode, I wanted to share a couple of thoughts on the differences between Eastern and Western meditation techniques, so slightly different to our normal format. These episodes are meant to be sort of short introductions, so are not exhaustive examinations of subjects, but really my thoughts on a topic and some ideas to get you started in thinking. If you like the podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes, or even better, leave us a review so we can continue doing this work. And also, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. So let's get started. So key differences between Western and Eastern meditation. I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently because I was writing some various articles on the subject, and I wanted to talk about some key differences that I see between the two systems. So let's first define what I mean. So with regards to Eastern meditation, it's actually a lot more common than Western meditation, I'd say. So, you know, it's not just limited to Buddhists. It's very common to lots of different faiths, including, you know, Hinduism, Jains, Taoist, as well as Buddhist. And a lot of these faiths, it's focused on a kind of much more of a personal experience and a sort of spiritual development path. One of the key things that you tend to find with a lot of Eastern meditation, and this is not all of them, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but you tend to find that a lot of them involves emptying the mind. So you empty the mind, think of nothing, and allow yourself to kind of cease to exist. So there's often this emphasis on leaving the world to achieve spiritual enlightenment. For instance, if one reads the book Opening the Dragon's Gate, which is a really good book about a Taoist magician, he talks about 4-hour long meditation sessions, cultivating the chi over a numbers of years to gain different psychic abilities, and also opening the third eye. And the curriculum he talks about is 12 years in the making, so it involves multiple dying and resuscitation experiences, and then also you know, working with different animals and isolating oneself for these extremely long periods of time. There's also another book which I can highly recommend called Cave in the Snow by Tenzin Palmo, which describes one Western woman's experience of traveling in Tibet and then meditating alone in a cave for 12 years in the mountains. And here's a quote from that book. Normally we are so identified with our thoughts and emotions that we are them. We are the happiness. We are the anger. We are the fear. We have to learn to step back and know our thoughts and emotions are just thoughts and emotions. They're just mental states. So what she's saying there is obviously stepping back from that emotional attachment, stepping back from those fears, seeing oneself as separate, which does obviously correlate quite a lot with our discussions on the Kabbalah from the point of view of the division between the personality and the individuality. So obviously on this process of towards gnosis, I guess I would describe it as, one begins to see the weaknesses of the personality and then move beyond them into that higher self. Another book that I really like about Eastern meditation is a book called Lady of the Lotus Born, which is the life and enlightenment of Yeshe Sogol. So Yeshe Sogol, if people don't know, was the first Tibetan to attain enlightenment. First Tibetan woman to attain enlightenment. She was the closest disciple of Padmasambhava, who was the master who brought Buddhism to Tibet in the 8th century. And the book's not just a biography, but it's a really kind of inspiring example of how the Buddha's teachings are put into practice. And it really kind of weaves these ideas of Buddhist teachings with a colourful narrative, and also includes lots of episodes of adventure and court intrigue. Here's a quote from that book. "What we understand to be phenomena are but the magical projections of the mind, the hollow vastness of the sky. I never saw to be afraid of anything. All this is but the self-glowing light of clarity. There is no other cause at all. All that happens is but my adornment, better than to stay in silent meditation. And yeah, it's a really fascinating book. But some of those books will give you a really good understanding of how different it is, I guess, from that Eastern perspective. Moving on to Western meditation, from my experience, it's slightly different in terms of tends to be more sort of goal orientated or activity focused. Generally, I think there probably are exceptions to that, but generally, from my experience and certainly the systems that I have practiced, it's a lot more structured in terms of a method. So can often revolve around, you know, reflecting on key concepts, images, symbols or ideas rather than this concept of clearing the mind, and often in the form of things like visualization, path working or, you know, soul travel using symbols. So things like the tarot trumps. In occult schools in the West, there's a big focus on developing the concentration and especially visualization skills of students. So this can include lots of image formation exercises where the students are asked to build up certain mental pictures or also image recollection. W.E. Butler, or Ernest Butler, as he was known to his friends, one of my favourite authors, wrote some excellent books, including Magician, His Training and Work, Apprentice to Magic, as well as others. Some of the books are quite hard to get hold of, but highly, highly recommend them. He says the following about visualization, and I wanted to include this quote. The first class of exercise is a very important method of training the visualizing power. Here we are using the term visualizing in a somewhat different way. We usually think of visualization in its literal sense as the building up of pictures derived from the sense of sight, but occult visualization is the building of a composite mental image made up of impressions which have been received through all the five senses. Let me give you an example. You may be asked to build up a mental picture of a waterfall, say, the Niagara Falls. In this case, you will have to make not merely a picture of what the falls looks like, but also what they sound like, what the waters taste like, the scents which arise, and the feel of the rushing waters on the body. The very fact of having to build this composite image in its fullness helps in the meditation, since the mind desires change, and if jammed on just one point in the mental picture, will pass into a condition of auto-hypnosis. Useful though such a state can be, as you'll discover at a later stage, it is not a desirable condition when one is beginning training in meditation. There is also a very interesting simile used by Professor Ernest Woods in his book on concentration. He likens the mind to a fish swimming in a lake. In the centre of the lake is an island, and the fish is required to observe the general scenery. There are two ways in which he can do this. One is by sticking his nose in the muddy island bank and trying to keep his attention fixed on what he sees. The other, and far more effective way, is for him to swim slowly around the island and record all he sees in his circular journey. It is this second method which you have to follow in this initial training. By varying the mental point of view, by altering the emphasis on one set of pictures in favour of another, you should succeed in building a clear and comprehensive picture. This picture will be in three dimensions, will be in the round, not merely a flat image. As you will see at a later date, when you are building the mental forms which are used as the channels of elemental energy of various grades, this visualization in the round enables you to build up really effective thought forms. So, yeah, what Ernest Butler's talking about there is this concept of, in the West anyway, of building up thought forms. So rather than clearing the mind and trying to clear the mind of everything in there so you reach that kind of stillness, you're essentially kind of going the other way. So you're building up these images in the mind and not just one image, but also, you know, three-dimensional. So you're trying to experience the image through smell, through taste, through touch, through feeling. You know, how does it feel to drive the car? What's the car smell like? What does the car look like? All of those senses, and then that gives you that kind of rounded perspective. And that's a really good idea in terms of looking at how lots of Western meditation techniques happen. So things like path workings, for instance, use this method whereby you would experience a particular symbol, or you would travel into a tarot card, for instance, and you would experience all of these different things. So you'd experience potentially the wind, you'd experience various different archetypes or characters who would then teach you wisdom, and you experience the symbols through walking that path rather than trying to clear the mind. Obviously, ultimately, you know, I think both techniques, Eastern and Western, really lead to the same goal. So there's many paths up the mountain, shall we say. And, you know, they both have that ultimate goal in the end. But, yeah, there's just different approaches, and it's very interesting. So, yeah, that's just some thoughts I had this morning. I hope everyone's found those interesting. Thanks very much for joining us today. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any questions, then please reach out to me. You can reach out to me via Facebook. The details are on the show notes or on email. My email is occultlondonpodcast@gmail.com. We really want to try and develop this podcast further, so we'd really appreciate it if you can rate the show or leave a review on iTunes or other platforms, as this will mean more people can see it and hopefully get value from this. Also, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk. Hope you have a great day, and thanks very much, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.